Grace and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today will be from the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spared throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lie a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So far the text. Please be seated. These words of the book of Job frighten. Why would God allow Satan to harm the blameless and upright believer Job? Why would God allow Satan to attack him so bitterly, attack a man who was the greatest among the people of his time? Was really God merciful and just when he allowed Satan to bring the terrible disaster to the house of Job? God's answer to this question was a powerful gospel, a full restoration of Job's life. The enigma, the secret of theodicy. Why does God allow the innocent to suffer in the closing divine discourse of the book of Job is covered by the power and sovereign will of the Almighty God and by his merciful action to his believer. Job indeed had faith in God's ultimate goodness and never abandoned that faith. Even when he cursed the day of his birth, Job's faith is something which is by far stronger than a man, Job himself. It is because Job's faith was not a product of human thought or deed. Job's faith was from God. And it is for that reason that the faith of Job was the object of Satan's attack. Does Job fear God for nothing? This question challenged the most precious thing which Job had. And Satan's blow was targeted to the very heart of the relation between God and Job. And the target of Satan's blow was the Christian hope and faith. In order to prove his lies, Satan challenged God, saying, "Tear off the hedge which you have built around the house of Job. Let me in, and we will see the truth. Is this your creature worth anything?" It sounds like Satan was suggesting himself instead as the most valuable among God's creature. And powerful he is. See what misery he brought upon the house of Job when God for a while took down the hedge of his protection. See what misery is brought through his lies in the world also today. He is a false and vicious accuser who is not at all prosecuting sin and crime, but who is prosecuting faith, which has the highest value as a true virtue with God. Therefore, Satan's cunning method working with men with the purpose to destroy the integrity of faith is to praise the sinful flesh and to diminish the importance of faith. But when approaching God, Satan is reversing this order, and then he is questioning whether God-fearing people do not pretend faith in order to merit good life in this world. Therefore, God himself presented Job as an example of faith, and God himself set boundaries how far Satan is allowed to go, testing whether Job's faith is genuine, spiritual, and not worldly. Namely, God allowed Satan to destroy Job's wealth and kill his 7 sons and 3 daughters, but no further. One would think, oh, no further. Is it possible to suffer an even more tragic blow? Had Job's life any value left after what has happened to him? Job himself thought, no, it had not. And he cursed the day when he was born. But he did not curse God. He lamented his life, but he did not lose hope. When he was later brought even deeper in misery, and he was afflicted with sores from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Job's wife said, curse God and die. Job's reply was amazing. Shall we accept only good from God and not trouble? This is a tested and genuine faith which God is commending. Faith which is not seeking for the proof in this world. So, what actually was left to Job with regard to his life? Nothing, except if his mere breathing, feeling pain, and crying were counted as a life values. He had lost everything. Even his wife despised him, scorned him, and regarded the integrity of Job's faith and his loyalty to God in this situation as a sign that Job has gone out of his mind. Even more, he thought that he had lost the favor and mercy of God. But he answered his friend Eliphaz, who tried to convince Job to repent and to stop blaspheming piety and to stop hinder devotion to God, saying, though he slays me, Job said, though he slays me, I will hope in him. On one hand, Job was doubting that God really cares for his life. On another, he was still holding to the hope that God will restore him one day. Job, with no success, was trying to resolve the enigma of theodicy, why the innocent suffer. One may wonder, where is the gospel in the story of Job's life? It is a frightening life story, yet it is also a very comforting story indeed. In spite of the fact that Job had been brought so low, he was doubting the goodness of God, there was still one thing left in him, a power which was much stronger than anything a human being could ever produce. Job still had faith and hope that God somehow, someday, will restore him. And those were not Job's happy years, and also not his broken, miserable life later, not his body or mind which produced faith in God. Job's faith was a gift from God, given through the word of God's eternal promises. Because God's promise is brought forth by Christ and the Holy Spirit, Satan could never possibly overcome God himself. We may surely say the gospel of coming Messiah, the Christ, made the Old Testament believer Job to believe in God's mercy and his restoration, even when all the circumstances of life told Job, you have lost everything. Today, still, it happens to Christians all over the world. My country, Latvia, lived for many years under the captivity of communism. But God has put a hedge around the lives of each, every Christian in Latvia, and also around our confessional Lutheran Church of Latvia. Had he not done so, perhaps many would have fallen from faith long before Satan had inflicted calamities like those which Job had to endure, and our small confessional church would have been long since destroyed. Very few believers have had to hold to their hope with so much pain as it happened to Job. God put up a hedge just around his naked life. For most of us, God had put up his hedge much further, and we have much more safety space. Yet the answer to this question, why the believers are tried by God, for you and for us, my dear American Christian friends, is answered by God in a way that we all have times when our faith is being tested. And when that time comes, we know exactly what then is happening in heaven. The book of Job has revealed it to us. Yet whatever happens, our confession of faith is also Job's confession when he said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. Believe this. To him alone belongs glory and praise. Amen.